Welcome to the deep dive. If you've ever been captivated by the whole scene at a BBQ competition, the smoke, the sounds, the skill, you know, it's intense.
It really is.
And winning isn't just about making good BBQ. It's about avoiding all those little traps.
Exactly. The pitfalls.
Today, we're digging into some fantastic insights from top BBQ competition mistakes to avoid. Essential tips. It's basically a roadmap for upping your game.
Yeah, and our mission here is, you know, to pull out the really critical stuff from that source. We're focusing on those tactical mistakes, the ones that can make or break your competition day.
So it's not just what to do, but what not to do.
Precisely. Understanding that gives you a real edge.
Okay, let's get into it. The source kicks off with something fundamental, not really getting the differences between meat cuts and how they need to be cooked. Why is that such a basic error?
Well, it's foundational, isn't it? Think about brisket. It needs that long, low, and slow cook.
Right, to break down the tissue.
Exactly. If you rush it or cook it wrong, judges get something chewy, tough, just not good. And the source highlights knowing how to trim the fat. That's huge.
How so?
Too much fat, it won't render properly. Too little, you lose that moisture, that flavor. It's about understanding the meat's structure before you even start.
Makes sense. And what about using cuts that are already, like, processed or pre-seasoned? Seems convenient, but the source says it's a mistake.
It really backfires.
Mm-hmm.
Because you lose control.
Control of the flavor profile.
Exactly. Judges want to see your skill, your seasoning choices.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-seasoned stuff, well, it creates inconsistencies and kind of masks your expertise. You can't fine-tune it to your vision.
Right. It's not your barbecue anymore.
Not really.
Okay, another point the source raises is ignoring regional preferences. I might think great ribs are great ribs everywhere, but is that naive?
A little bit, yeah. Knowing your audience, especially the judges, is key. The source mentions Texas, right? It's all about brisket there.
Where's Kansas City?
That's pork ribs territory. Being aware of those local tastes, well, it gives you a big advantage. Shows you've done your homework and respect the local scene.
So given all that, how much does the actual quality of the meat matter? Can you make up for a lower quality cut with skill?
Honestly, it's tough. Lower grade meat just doesn't have the same flavor potential or tenderness.
It dries out easily.
That's a huge issue judges look for. Moisture retention is critical.
Yeah.
If the meat starts out inferior, it's really hard to elevate it to winning levels. You'll likely end up with lower scores.
Okay, so going premium, like the certified Angus beef the source mentions, that marbling makes a real difference.
Oh, absolutely. That marbling means flavor and juiciness. It really sets it apart and shows a commitment, you know.
A commitment to the craft.
And tied to quality is freshness. The source strongly warns against using meat that's been frozen or stored too long.
Why is frozen such a problem?
Ice crystals form, and they can damage the muscle fibers when it thaws. That leads to moisture loss, kind of a mushier texture sometimes. Fresh is always better.
So the ideal scenario is finding good local butchers or farms.
Definitely. High standards, known quality. Plus, it sometimes resonates positively, showing you care about sourcing.
And what about unreliable suppliers? That sounds like a nightmare.
It introduces inconsistency, which is the enemy in competition. Imagine practicing with one quality of meat and then getting something totally different on the day.
Yeah, throws everything off.
Right. And the source even touches on understanding the origin, like heritage pork breeds. They can offer unique flavors. Plus, networking with suppliers at events. That can lead to better access, maybe even sponsorships later.
That's some really practical advice there. Okay, let's shift from the meat to crafting the flavor. The source pinpoints failing to create a balanced flavor profile as a major mistake.
This is a big one. Over-seasoning is really common. People think more is better, but you just blast the meat's natural flavor away.
Like a salt lick, as the source puts it.
Exactly. The advice is start light salt, pepper, then layer carefully, and taste. Get feedback during practice.
Makes sense. What about the flip side? Under-seasoning.
Just as bad, really.
Mm.
Judges will pick up on blandness immediately. You want flavors that sing, that complement the meat, not disappear.
So experiment. Maybe even think about what the judges might prefer. Sweeter, spicier.
Yeah, tailoring it slightly can be smart. But the core needs to be balanced. And then there's applying it evenly.
Ah, inconsistent application. I can see how that would be jarring.
Totally. One bite is perfect, the next is bland. It's confusing for the palate. Using a shaker helps get it uniform.
And letting it rest after seasoning.
Crucial. Lets the flavors penetrate. Practice that whole process until it's second nature, your standard procedure. Consistency is absolutely key.
Okay, from seasoning to smoke. Poor smoke management, another serious mistake area. This feels like the heart and soul of BBQ.
It really is. And choosing the wrong wood type. Classic error.
Like using mesquite on something delicate.
Exactly. Mesquite's bold, maybe too bold sometimes. Apple or cherry are milder, sweeter. You gotta match the wood to the meat. Hickory often goes with pork, cherry with chicken, for instance.
And wood moisture matters too.
Hugely. Greenwood smolders, creates thick, nasty smoke. That's where you get creosote, that bitter taste. You want well-seasoned wood that burns clean.
And over-smoking. How do you avoid that? Seems easy to do.
It is. You end up with an overwhelming, sometimes bitter flavor that just kills the taste of the meat.
So less wood. Start small.
Yes, start small. See how your cooker behaves. Maybe use a smoke box. Add wood later in the cook just for flavor infusion, not the whole time. Experimentation is key.
What about ventilation? How does that play into smoke?
Poor ventilation traps that bad smoke leads to creosote buildup, bitter flavors again. You need good airflow.
So managing the vents is important.
Absolutely. You're aiming for that thin, almost invisible blue smoke. That means clean, efficient burning, thick white smoke. That's usually a warning sign.
Got it. Okay, let's move into the cook itself. Temperature control. The source flags errors here as top tier mistakes.
Yeah, getting the temperature wrong is disastrous. Overcooking, especially with high heat, gives you that charred outside, raw inside problem. Or just dry, tough meat.
Like trying to rush a brisket.
Exactly. Brisket needs that 225, 250 degrees Sarif range, low and slow. You absolutely need a reliable smoker, good controls, and a quality thermometer. No guesswork.
So high heat is bad. What about too low, undercooking?
Well, that's a culinary fail, obviously. But worse, it's a huge food safety risk.
Can get you disqualified.
Instantly. Pork needs to hit 145 degrees Ehrke internal, chicken 165 degrees Ehrke, no exceptions. A good dual probe thermometer is your best friend here. Monitor the pit and the meat without opening the lid all the time.
Right, keep that environment stable. What about temperatures fluctuating during the cook? That must be tough outdoors.
It's a constant battle. Wind, humidity changes, fuel burning down.
Yeah.
It all affects temp.
So what can you do?
Use a windbreak if you need to. Keep a close eye on your fuel and just monitor constantly. Be ready to make small adjustments quickly. Knowing your cooker really helps anticipate those swings.
Which brings us back to thermometers. The source basically says not using one is a cardinal sin.
It absolutely is. You're flying blind. How can you guarantee consistency or even safety without measuring internal temp?
You risk disqualification just on safety grounds.
For sure. Invest in a good one. Learn the target temps for different cuts. It's non-negotiable for serious competition.
Okay, shifting slightly. Time management. Sounds like you can ace everything else but still fail if you run out of time.
Oh, easily. Not allowing enough cooking time is a classic mistake. Leads to rushed entries, maybe undercooked.
And different meats take vastly different times.
Right? Exactly. The source mentions a whole hog taking maybe 24 hours, ribs much less. You need a detailed timeline for everything with buffer time built in for surprises. Always build in that buffer.
And resting time. Yeah. The source stresses this. Why is skipping the rest such a mistake?
It's critical. That rest period lets the juices redistribute throughout the meat. Skip it. And all that moisture runs out when you slice it.
So drier, less flavorful meat?
Significantly. Brisket might need 30 minutes, an hour, even more. Chicken, maybe 10, 15 minutes. It makes a huge difference. Plus, it gives you time for final saucing or plating.
Right, that last minute polish. Okay, here's one that seems basic but critical. Late submission. Being even a minute late.
Can mean disqualification or big point deductions. Doesn't matter how good the food is. Judges have a schedule. And they stick to it.
So plan for setbacks, know the schedule inside out.
Absolutely. Prepare way ahead. Time is just as much a factor as taste and competition.
Okay, let's talk presentation. The art part. The source says it's often neglected, but really crucial.
Yeah, you eat with your eyes first, right? A messy or unappealing presentation gives a bad first impression before they even taste it.
So think about colors, arrangement.
Definitely. Use garnishes, strategically fresh herbs, maybe some colorful veggies to make the plate pop. Good plating can even make the food seem higher quality. It shows care.
What about bad garnishing? Like inappropriate or sloppy?
That can totally backfire. If it clashes with the food or just looks messy, it detracts. Keep it simple, complimentary, and fresh. Don't overdo it.
And just serving the meat messily. Slices askew, sauce dripped everywhere.
Instant negative impression. It looks careless. Use the right tools, place things neatly, wipe the plate clean. Practice your presentation, just like you practice your cooking. Details matter.
Okay, so we've covered the cook, the prep, the presentation. Let's talk about the competitive edge. Practice is obvious, but the source says insufficient practice is a common failure.
It's not just about running through the motions. Good rehearsals let you fine-tune everything, experiment, spot weaknesses, and crucially, practice under different conditions.
Not just in your backyard on a sunny day.
Exactly. Practice when it's windy or cold, or using slightly different equipment if you might have to. You need to be ready for the unpredictability of competition day. It builds resilience.
What about feedback? The source mentions not considering feedback as a mistake. How should competitors approach that?
You have to be open to it. Judge comments, even casual remarks from other competitors can be gold mines. Look for patterns in feedback.
And ask friends or family during practice runs.
Definitely. But the key is to filter it. Integrate what makes sense for your style. Don't just chase every suggestion. Stay true to your BBQ vision, but be willing to learn.
And that links back to practicing under different conditions versus just controlled ones. Why is that so vital?
Because competitions are rarely perfectly controlled. If you only practice in ideal settings, the first gust of wind or equipment hiccup throws you off completely.
So simulate the real deal.
As much as possible. Strict timelines, same gear, maybe even get friends to act as mock judges. Prepare for the pressure and the chaos.
Okay, let's wrap with what the source calls the ultimate mistake. Not understanding or following the rules. Seems obvious, but...
It trips people up constantly. Misunderstanding category requirements. That can get you disqualified before judging even starts.
So, read the rule book. Carefully.
Meticulously. Know exactly what's required for ribs, brisket, chicken, whatever you're entering. Pay attention to the details.
What about disclosing conflicts of interest? That seems more administrative.
It's about integrity. Failing to disclose connections can lead to disqualification, sure, but it also damages your reputation to the BBQ community. Transparency builds trust.
And finally, back to time limits. We mentioned submission, but adhering to all time limits throughout the event.
Crucial. Point deductions, disqualification. The consequences are severe. Know the schedule, set your own deadlines for each step, plan for delays, but stay on track. Urgency without panic.
Wow. Okay, that was a really comprehensive deep dive. We've hit everything from choosing meat and nailing seasoning to managing temperature and smoke, presentation, and the huge roles of practice and rules.
It really shows that winning isn't just about the food itself, is it? It's mastering the whole process, avoiding those common, sometimes subtle mistakes. Precision, planning, always improving.
So, thinking about all this for you, our listener, what's that one specific mistake we talked about today that you now think might be holding you back, whether you compete or just want to wow your friends at home? And maybe more importantly, what's the very next thing you're going to do to fix it?